We're going to continue our series in John's Gospel this morning, and this passage we're going to look at today contains the shortest verse in the Bible, okay? It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, not just because it is short, although that makes it stand out, but because it's also very powerful in its poignancy, in its meaning. Okay, so we're in today in John chapter 11. We're going to read most of that chapter, and this famous verse will come up. You'll know it instinctively when I read it, I'm sure, if you don't know it already. So John 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother was Lazarus, now lay sick, and was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one that you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Now, I'm just going to drop in there, okay, because we're going to cover this a bit later, but that clashes with our culture, doesn't it? When he heard that he was sick, he stayed where he was, okay? Sometimes we go, somebody's sick, someone's in crisis, we go towards as quickly as we possibly can, as fast as we can. But Jesus stayed where he was, okay? So don't miss that bit. Verse 7, he then said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant a natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Look, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. So let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Mary answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been in there for 4 days. And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. That famous verse, Jesus wept. Jesus had friends. Jesus evidently had good friends. By all account, Jesus knew Mary and Martha and Lazarus well. They were not just acquaintances, not just people that he'd met, but they were people that he knew well. They were his friends. He would often stay with them. He loved them and they loved him. So when the news came to Jesus that he was unwell, it would have, and it clearly did, produce an emotional response in Jesus. Jesus is an emotional person. Now, I grew up in a church tradition, and perhaps some of you will be familiar with this, a tradition where we were very nervous of emotions. Christians shouldn't get emotional at church. So that's danger, because that might just be your emotions that are leading you there. Or be careful of that, because you're being led away by your emotions. Emotions can deceive, they said. Well, all of those things are potentially true, but that does not make emotion bad. For Jesus had emotions. Jesus was an emotional person, and he was also sinless. So given that he was sinless and had emotion, we therefore know that emotion is fine. It's okay. It's what Jesus expressed. And so if you feel yourself feeling emotion, whether that be sadness or deep joy, even a joy that makes you want to take your hands out your pockets and lift them over your head, well, that is fine, for Jesus was an emotional person. Don't be afraid of your emotions, and neither be afraid of somebody else's emotions. Sometimes you may see somebody crying and your first instinct is, I've got to do everything necessary to get them to stop crying. Sometimes those tears need to come out. Sometimes the sadness needs to come out. So don't be afraid of your emotions, and neither be afraid of somebody else's emotions. The sickness of his friend provoked an emotional response. But it also very evidently produced a spiritual response that gave Jesus a great confidence that was greater or transcended his emotional one. I.e., he was emotional, he wanted to go, he was feeling a sadness for his friend, but his spirit enabled him to know everything's going to be okay. I don't need to rush there right now. This is going to be okay. There's something greater, there's something bigger than our emotions, which is the Lord, and it's going to be okay. Jesus knew that the sickness would not be the end. He knew that even if he died, that would not be the end either. But this is a trial. It's a time of suffering that would lead in the end to triumph and to glory. Do you remember if you were with us a few weeks ago, we thought about the blind man. Sorry, Jim, you've not even got this bit. We thought about the blind man who was blind, and Jesus said, look, this is for the glory. This is for the glory of God. So the miracle enabled the glory of God because people saw just how good God was. Yeah. And what we saw here with Lazarus is that Jesus says, look, the glory to God's going to come here. He's sick so that glory may come to God, which is again, a little bit kind of counter for us. If you're not sure about that, then hit the website from a few weeks ago and listen to that again. But Jesus knew that God is in control. He knew that he was in control, and he may even die, but God's no less in control. God is good. So it's a time of trial and suffering, which is real, but ultimately it's going to lead to triumph and to glory. So emotions are not wrong. Emotions that cause absolute dominating panic, that you are unable to see or think about anything else, that you are unable to see the sovereign hand of God, well, those emotions do need to be checked. They do need to be brought in to balance. And maybe sometimes that can be through talking through with somebody else. Maybe that can be through prayer. Maybe that can be you need to go and see your doctor. So emotions that just take over everything else. So maybe you need some help. But emotions of themselves are not wrong, for Jesus was emotional. Jesus was emotional, but yet knew the sovereign hand of God was greater And so even in the midst of his deep sadness and sorrow, was able to trust that God was in control. So maybe the next time something just seems so crushing and overwhelming, yeah, allow yourself to feel the sadness, but only so low as to go, yeah, God is still in control here. God's still got this. Let's go back a little bit. Mary and Martha reached out to Jesus in hope that he would help, in a belief that he would help. But then they had to wait. They then had to wait. And that wait would have been horrendous. Who's got short patience? Well, no patience, yeah. The rest of you may be lying. No, joking. Patience is hard, isn't it? Waiting for things is difficult. They went to Jesus, sent word to Jesus in the belief that he would help, and then he made them wait. And that waiting would have been horrible. They would have watched Lazarus get more and more sick and die. And we know all of this happened, and then he was in the tomb for 4 days. So the wait was not just a couple of hours or even maybe a week. It was perhaps longer that we had to wait. And perhaps they felt abandoned at their point of need by their Lord and their friend. Jesus was a friend. And so they'd sent word to their friend for him to help. And then they had to wait in that void, in that just the waiting. It's just hard. Do you ever feel like that? So terribly frightened, so tired, so alone. And the one that you believed would always be there to help you doesn't come. The one that you believed would help you in just that very moment doesn't come. Some of you at times have said to me, I've prayed and I've prayed. I just don't know what to do now. We're in that waiting. We're in that waiting time. The Lord is no less sovereign. He's got you in the palm of his hand. He's never going to let you go, remember? He's never going to let you go. That hasn't changed. But you are waiting. What you are going through is sad and difficult, and we wish it were not so, but it doesn't mean the Lord has abandoned you and he's still got you, and this is not the end. It doesn't end like this. It doesn't end here. So we can take heart. Take heart. If you are in that waiting and that wondering, take heart, because Jesus did come. He came in his time, and then the miracle was breathtaking. It was glorious. It was powerful. Imagine the relief and the sense of praise of being there. I imagine it was kind of palpable, that kind of, wow, Lazarus, you were dead. We wrapped you up. You've been in there for 4 days. You must have been honking. You must have stinking. But you're there. You're alive. Just imagine that relief, that sense of praise. Oh, Jesus, wow, you came and you helped and he's alive. So if you are waiting, be patient in the wait. There'll be days and moments where the tears will flow, and that's okay. But don't allow yourself to slip into such a despair of tears that you think that the Lord has forgotten you, because he hasn't. He knows the beginning from the end. He still has you. He does not end in that moment. We might have to wait, but we'll never be left in perpetual suffering. The suffering will not be over us forever and ever and ever. Ultimately, we will be free of pain and we will be free of suffering. For eternity with Jesus will begin, and there'll be no more sickness or sadness or death or anything. No more sin. It will one day all be glorious. So if you are stuck in a trial now, then wait. Because the sovereign Lord has you in his hand. You don't stay there forever. At the center of this story is a death. I remember over the years, one or two of you have commented that we never talk about death. Sometimes those same people say, I want church to be always joyful and always about the glory of God. Well, okay. The reason we don't talk about death is that death is difficult to talk about. Death is difficult to think about. We would rather not think about it. We would prefer instead to think that we're somehow immune to it. My loved ones are never going to die because I can't possibly comprehend life without them. But looking around the room, looking at the ages of the people in the room, perhaps with the exception of one, in about 80 years' time, we're all going to be dead. Because death comes. Death comes for all of us. It's not a cheery thought, is it? You think, man, Steve, lower the mood, come on. It's not cheery. It's not cheery. But to contemplate death also allows us to consider the joy and the wonder of the resurrection, for death is not the end. Death is not the end. One day we're going to be with Jesus and it's going to be perfect. It will be perfect. No caveats, no if buts. It will be perfect. It will be wonderful. And so Jesus holds us in the palm of his hand, and death is not the end. Mary and Martha didn't just contact Jesus so as that he would know what was happening. I'm just letting you know. Mm-mm. They contacted him so as he would help. They contacted him so that he would do something about it. Verse 6, as we stopped and thought, Jesus says that he stays where he was. Now, we know from other miracles of Jesus that he could just stayed where he was and go, look, go back, and by the time you get there, he'll be healed. I've just healed him. He doesn't physically need to be standing next to him at all, but that's not what happens here. We know that he'd heal people he wasn't physically next to, but that he doesn't do that here, because he has a purpose for this story. He has a purpose for Lazarus. He has a purpose for Mary and Martha. He has a purpose for all of the Jews that have gathered around in Bethany at that time to watch this event, and we're going to see that in a moment. But when Jesus does get there, we need to notice that Mary and Martha are the two characters. Now, Martha comes running out. She goes out to look for him. She goes out to meet him. Even after he had died, Mary still believed that he could do something. Mary still believed that Jesus could do something. Verse 21, she goes to see him. Mary was sitting still. Evidently, she likes to sit still. Martha can't sit still very much, and she's up and about and she's busying herself. And Martha says, if only you had come sooner. If only you had come sooner. Now, we might have said something similar, perhaps. We might have said, oh, Jesus, thanks for coming, but it's too late now. It's too late. I wish you'd been here a few days ago, because you might have been able to do something, but it's too late now. But then, verse 22, in an extraordinary act of faith, she says, what can you do now? Even now I know that God will give you what you ask. Even now. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. But even now, Jesus, I know that God will give you what you ask. Her hope had not gone. Her brother had died, been in the tomb for 4 days, but her hope had not gone. He died. Sadness was in the air. Tomb for 4 days, but she had hope. She had hope for beyond the grave. You will see him again, says Jesus. Death is not the end. We thought about this last week, about being held in the Father's hand. And what was that thought? About not perishing. Not perishing. Liam Gallagher and his kind of dulcet Mancunian twang saying, I want to live forever. Well, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will live forever. You will live forever. For death is not the end. For death allows the resurrection to follow. The death allows the eternity with Jesus, that perfection to begin. You will very likely not make a comeback like Lazarus. It's possible. But we will very likely not be a story written about us being dead for 4 days and coming back to life. But your soul will live forever with Jesus and because of Jesus. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. Death is horrible. It's horrible, but there is hope even in death for the believer. For we're held in the hand of Jesus and we're never going to perish. But yet notice Mary's reaction. When Martha goes and fetches her, Mary comes out to meet Jesus. Verse 32, she says the same thing. Jesus, if you had been here, he would not have died. She says the same thing that Martha did. Only then she doesn't say the next thing. She doesn't say what Martha also said. Mary doesn't express any hope whatsoever that Jesus could yet still act, for death was death and this was the end. Two believers, two friends of Jesus, but two different responses. One had hope in the face of death and one was defeated and crushed. Our emotions are not wrong. It's where our emotions take us. They were both full of sadness, but one still had hope. Don't let your emotions so take hold of you that all your hope goes out the window. There is always hope. if hope is in Jesus. One had hope and one was defeated. Have you ever noticed how grief hits different people differently? It did here too. It did here as well. So before we see the actions of Jesus, they do not depend upon our faith. One had loads of hope, one had none at all, but yet the action of Jesus was the same. We need to play this out a little bit more, think about this more. For Martha has hope even in death and is comforted. It's comforted. Mary does not express such hope, believing that death is the end, and she does not receive any comfort from Jesus at all. Now, there's some implications here for us about in terms of, well, is Jesus going to comfort me if I don't have much faith? Well, I don't think it's as simple as that, but it's evidently what happened here. Martha had hope and received comfort. Mary didn't have any hope and wasn't comforted. One was comforted in her faith and the other not. Then we have this fascinating phrase in verse 33. It says that Jesus was moved in spirit and troubled, moved and troubled in his spirit. A more literal translation of the Greek suggests that he was angry in his spirit. So what produced this emotion? What made Jesus angry? Well, it was in response to their tears without hope. Jesus is upset with us when we stop hoping in him. When we go, all hope is gone, death, that's it, it's done with. You've come now, Jesus, but you're too late, see you later. When our hope is gone, Jesus gets angry. Their faith had gone. A bit like the disciples in the sea in the midst of the storm. What does Jesus say? Where is your faith? It's the lack of faith, lack of any faith, that produces this angry response in him. Verse 35, Jesus wept. So weeping or crying, that's not what Jesus is angry with. Jesus isn't upset with their tears. He's not upset with their sadness. He's upset with their lack of faith, their lack of hope. We can hope in Jesus even in the toughest of times. And those toughest of times still may bring us tears, but they do not need to take our hope. For our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the Lord. Jesus calls Lazarus from the tomb. It's often suggested that if he hadn't called him by name and just gone to the tomb and said, come out, that many would have walked out of the tomb that day. But Jesus calls Lazarus out. Neither Mary or Martha had expected this event. Martha believed in the resurrection, but only in glory, not this. Mary had believed that death was the end and that was just it. You see, the remarkable and the miraculous doesn't depend on our faith, but everything on the will of Jesus. Everything on the will of Jesus. If you've not yet been healed of something, it's not because you don't have enough faith. Because they didn't have any faith at all that he was going to walk out the tomb, but yet he did. If you've not been healed of something, if you've been praying for somebody else to be healed of something and they haven't, it's not because of a lack of faith. In times of crisis, you sometimes will hear or see that Christians have gathered to pray. Sometimes in those prayer meetings, you notice that the volume goes up. Normally prayers, oh, thank you, Lord. Look down at our shoelaces and we mutter and we mumble. When we're moved by something, the volume is high and we're shouting those prayers sometimes. The intensity is faster and higher. People tend to pray. They're more physically demonstrative in those times. Now, those things are not wrong, but they do not induce God to act. It's not, if I just pray loud enough and quick enough, God's going to answer my prayer. It doesn't work like that. They're not wrong things, but they don't convince God to respond to the request. God is not, it's not that God's thinking, well, if only you prayed a decibel louder or a bit quicker or have both hands in the air rather than just one, I'd have answered. God doesn't work like that. God wants us to pray in hope and expectation, even if we don't have any. I don't know about you, but I would rather have prayed for an answered miracle than have just heard afterwards that it happened. I'd rather have prayed for it than just to join in the gladness afterwards, because that's where the blessing is. I prayed for it. I prayed for it. That's where the blessing is. The miracle does not happen because we pray for it or because I believe that it would. And similarly, if you have not yet seen the miracle, it's not because you didn't believe in it enough. It's not because you didn't pray for it enough. It's because of the will of God. Lazarus was sick so that Jesus would be glorified. Lazarus was put in a tomb so that God would be glorified in this time. You see, Jesus prays here in verse 41 and 42. And why does he say that he prays? He prays for the benefit of those that are there. He doesn't pray for Lazarus. He doesn't pray for his sake. He prays for the sake of those that are there, listening and watching this. He prays and he acts and he moves so that people might believe. The miracle was so that the lost might believe. Pete said earlier, we've got a prayer meeting on Wednesday. And I know that some of you will plan and you will be there because that's what you always do and you come. I wonder sometimes whether people just don't take any notice of that because it's never in their intention or thought to ever go to a prayer meeting. Why do we go and pray publicly? It's not because God answers public prayers more than he answers those we pray on our own in our house. No, we go and pray publicly for the benefit of those that listen and watch. That's why we gather to pray. It's why we do it publicly. It's why we do it together. Not because the prayers are more powerful, but that it energizes the faith in those around about us. So, prayer meeting, 8 o'clock Wednesday night. We want to see and hear stories of young people coming to know Jesus at Summer Night Live, don't we? Well, let's gather and pray for that. Not so as that happens, but that when we hear that, we go, I prayed for that. I prayed for that. It's a gracious blessing of the Lord. It involves us in his thing. So let's gather and pray. I've completely lost my thread now. Jesus prays publicly in that moment for the sole reason so that other people might believe. The miracle was so that the lost may believe that he is God. Do you remember at the beginning I said that Jesus had a purpose in not just healing him remotely, in not just going, look, just go back, Lazarus, I've healed him. No. His purpose in not going straight away, his purpose in not doing it remotely was so that people believe. His purpose was that people may see the resurrection and believe. I mean, just how powerful would that moment have been? Move the stone. What? Come out, Lazarus. I mean, that would have been extraordinary. People get sick and get better all the time. Not many people walk out the tomb. That's where the power is. And that's why Jesus let it happen, so that people would believe. The purpose was that they would see the resurrection and believe. He wanted them to see an even bigger miracle. We think if we love someone, we should solve all their problems as quickly as we possibly can and make them as happy as we quickly and possibly can. Jesus loved Mary and Martha. Be under no illusion of that. And so he makes them wait. He made them wait because his desire to glorify God was greater. His desire and heart and love for Mary and Martha was greater. Lord, why have you not answered my prayer right now? Because you're going to prefer the miracle in a week. That's going to blow your socks off. He did it so that his friends saw a bigger miracle, so that they would grow in their faith. I think we need to pray and seek for more signs and wonders, don't we? We want signs and wonders to blow our socks off, don't we? We want that because it energizes us in our faith, doesn't it? But we also want our friends in our community to see those things and to hear those stories because it gives them that curiosity and that faith. Wow, that is amazing. That is astonishing. That is incredible. I've got to go and see this Jesus for myself. So we need to pray and seek for more signs and wonders, don't we? So it blows our socks off for what God is doing. We need to pray for that over and above even sometimes the things that we want so that the world might believe. We need to pray for signs and wonders. But you know what? Signs and wonders come often when there is crisis. People are hungry. I'm going to give you a sign and a wonder. He's been blind since birth. You can have a sign and a wonder. He's been dead for 4 days. Well, you can have a sign and a wonder. None of us would pick any of those things, would they? Lord, make me so hungry. Make me blind. put my brother in a tomb. We're not going to ask for those things. But maybe we need to be ready for those things if we want the other bit, for the signs and the wonders, the miraculous, transforming, incredible power of God. So don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Pray for the miraculous. Pray for the miraculous. God's going to do the miraculous whether you expect it, have faith in it or not. But if you know that you prayed for it, there's a blessing in that. That's just for you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for what this story shows us about him, that he was an emotional man, that he cried, he was upset, he was sad, he got angry even. Thank you that that assures us and shows us that we're not to be afraid of our emotions. Our emotions are not wrong. Our emotions are not bad. They're not to be suppressed or avoided. Even the emotions of somebody else, it's not something we should run away from. But help us and to see that Jesus also didn't let his emotions ultimately rob him of the hope that he had in his Father, in you. And so, Lord, I pray that yet in our next trial, and it will come like a bus, there'll be one and then there'll be two. In our next trial, in our next sorrow, in our next time of sadness, the tears are going to flow and that's okay. But I pray that it would not take our hope. For our hope is in you and you have us in the palm of your hand. And you're never letting go. That we're never going to perish. We're never going to be lost. We're going to live with you forever in eternity and it will be glorious. And there'll be no more sin or sickness or sorrow. Father, I thank you that hope is not gone because Jesus is here. And Lord, I pray that we would look to you and look to you always. Lord, I pray for us as a church that we would seek and pray for more signs and wonders, that we would expect you to be moving. Lord, I pray for us that that sometimes when we're waiting for those things, we would wait patiently. We would wait in hope and confidence that just because you have not done it in the moment that we demanded it, there's a better reason. There's a reason that we do not know. There's a reason that we cannot perhaps comprehend. But Lord, we pray that that perhaps as we go through trials and wonders, we would see the miracle. We would see the powerful, the miraculous, the extraordinary. And that our faith would grow, the faith of the church would grow, the faith of our community would grow as people would come to know you as their Lord and Saviour, having seen your mighty and powerful hand at work. Lord, I thank you for what you did for these two sisters and their brother. Lord, I thank you for what you have done in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would tell those stories. Lord, I thank you in advance of what you are going to do in our lives. For you are great, you are good. It's all in your perfect and wonderful timing. Help us to put all of our trust and our hope in you, to look to you always. Thank you, Lord. Amen.